Good morning. Isn't the Lord good? Hallelujah. He is good all the time. So glad to be in the house of the Lord with you. I'm, like I said, you know, we're dealing with a lot of sickness, a lot of things going on. But you and I are here and we brought the Lord with us. So let's don't miss our opportunity to worship the Lord and to hear from Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So glad that Larissa's here and the kids. Glad to see each and every one of you. I always pray for you, always thinking about you. And I want you just to always focus on the positive. Sometimes it's hard when we go through trials and struggles and all those things, but it's just a ploy of the enemy to get you and I off the positive. Amen. It's easy to be negative. You're surrounded by a negative world, and the world wants to... they want you to be influenced by them. They don't want to be influenced by you. But guess what? The greater one lives in you. Amen. All right. If you would, open up to the book of Colossians chapter 4. And this is session 14. We're going to finish this epistle this morning. And I've learned so much as we preached our way through this this epistle. And I encourage you just to don't lay it aside. Keep reading it because it's kind of the epistle of the year. That the Spirit of God has laid on our hearts. And there's so much that you and I can glean from it. Every time we read it, we get more out of it. Amen. But we're going to be talking about this morning. Yes. Yes. Let's do that right now. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just... Father, the leadership of your Spirit, we're so grateful and so thankful for speaking to Brother Jason and putting that on his heart. Right now, as a group of believers, each one of us, we pray in our own way, and we just plead the blood of Jesus on every person that's not here. Lord, I know that they have a desire to be here, but they're under different kind of attacks. They're going through different battles and struggles. But just as Brother Jason said, we come in agreement with what you've laid on his heart. You said we're two agreed as touching any one thing, it shall be done. So there's more than two. So we come in agreement right now for the blood of Jesus to be applied to every person. For there to be a wall of protection. Lord, you said that you would be a fiery wall that protected Israel under the old covenant in the Old Testament. So how much more under the new covenant in the New Testament will you be a wall of fire? You'll be a hedge of protection around your children. Lord, let it be. And touch those who, like as on Brother Jason's heart, that cannot be here. Lord, touch them. Let them feel the warmth of your Spirit right now. And just encourage them and lift them up. Let Jesus be exalted before all of our eyes. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jason. Hallelujah. So this morning in this, as we finish this epistle, I want you to hold these three things in your mind because as we read verses 7 through 18 to finish it, we're going to be talking about each one of us who is a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God. We are a comforter. So you are Christ's comforter, and you need to see that. The Holy Spirit is the comforter in you that enables you and I to be a comforter. But before we look at that, before we can comfort somebody, we've got to see that we are the Messiah's messenger. Come on, you speak for Jesus. Amen. You speak for the Messiah. In other words, you speak for the anointed one, and that anointing lives in you. And then thirdly, lastly, we'll look at how each one of us have to be passionate prayer warriors to be able to accomplish the task at hand. And so I want you to pull from these verses of Scripture those three things. Let's start reading in verse number 7. Let's read through the end of the epistle, if you would, with me. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, by the Spirit of God, all my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you've received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. And Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are at Laodicea and them that are at Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which are in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it also to be read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from the Laodicean. Verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Verse 18, the salutation by the hand of Paul, remember my bonds, grace be unto you. Amen. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, once again, thank you for this day.
Yes.
Let us take the word of God in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And let us grow and let us understand that we are sons, daughters, and most high.
Yes.
My precious gift today. I thank you. Thank you.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here once again. Thank you for honoring the word. Just my prayer that you hear and receive this morning something that will be a blessing to you that you can take and grow from. Now, how many would say that Jesus Christ is faithful? He's faithful, isn't he? The Bible says in Revelation 19:11 that he is faithful and true. He is called, he is named faithful and true. And Hebrews 3 talks about that like Moses, Jesus, even to the deeper level, is faithful in all of his house. And so when you and I look at the closing of this epistle, it's about faithful people in the ministry. And so I want you to know that because God has called you to this part of the body of Christ, I want you to know that God sees everything that you do. He knows everything that you do. He knows your heart, and he knows that some things that you'd like to do that you maybe you're struggling with or at this point of time in your life for some reason you can't do that to the level that you would like to. But because you have a heart for it, he's going to make ministry possible to you and for you. Amen. And I want you to consider this. In Paul's letters, he always acknowledges those who are there to help him. And in his epistles, you can read of about 100 different people that the Apostle Paul mentions because he knows that ministry is about people. Amen. In Romans 16, he mentions 26 people alone. But as you and I read these closing verses in here in Colossians chapter 4, he mentions 10 people that were there in the ministry. So I want you to know that, you know what makes a church successful? You. You. You're what makes a church successful because the closer you are to the Lord and the more that you're willing to follow his unction and you are, then we can't help but be successful. And I want you to know that God needs you. He has set up his kingdom and the way that he wants to work in the earth today through you. So for the success for the Lord, he has put that much confidence in you. Amen. So as we close this epistle, I want you to consider that. I want you to be thinking about that. And so your Lord is faithful. And since you're saved by the measure of faith that he gave to you, guess what? You're faithful. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. Don't let him bring any condemnation. Don't let him bring any question marks. Come on, with Jesus, there's no question marks. There's only answers. Amen. So let's look at that this morning and let's be encouraged. So notice what he said there in verses 7, 8, and 9. Paul said, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you who is a beloved brother and is a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful, there it is, and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. So he calls them there, and we'll look at comfort in a minute, but he called them messengers. I want you to see yourself this morning as a messenger for the Messiah. That's who you are. Because see, we follow the pattern of the Bible. And so the epistles are written, and they're written to you and I to follow this pattern. And so Paul calls out these people. So I want you to know that as Don and I pray for you, I don't look, and she doesn't look at the outside. We pray for you as the Holy Ghost brings words. And sometimes my mind will go, what? How does that word apply to them? I don't understand that at all. But I have to tell my mind to shut up, and I pray that word over you. And I'm sure you do the same thing for everyone else. And as we pray that word, then here comes the scripture that will confirm that word. Amen. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying, you've got a message. Well, the way that you and I are successful in this message is that we all were tied together. And we need one another. We know that we're part of the family of God. And so I want us to see some things this morning, I think, that will just, build us up and encourage us so much. Now, turn with me over here and look at Paul's writing to the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He makes this statement, and I want to read this verse just to get the thought into your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. Look what he says. He says, whether any do inquire of Titus, so he's talking once again, who is a helper in the church. Titus means nurse. You know, you and I, that's what we're to do. We're to nurse each other along. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren, be inquired of. Now, notice what he says. This is why we're reading the last part of the verse. Mark it down in your Bible. Highlight it in your Bible app. They are the messengers of the churches unto the glory of Christ. Now, you say, well, he's talking about Titus here. No, he's talking about everybody who's carrying the message. So you're carrying a message this morning. Come on, you're a messenger of the church. The church is, Jesus is the head and the church is his body. That's how important you are. Why do you think the devil tries to distract you, tries to discourage you, try to get you and I concentrating on tangents and get our mind over on just this life in the moment? Come on, if we get our mind on this life in the moment, it's overwhelming. It's concerning. It's in a place where we wonder, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to provide for that? Because all of these things, it puts the emphasis on ourselves, and you and I know that we can't do anything ourselves. But when we put the emphasis on Him, He's your Lord. He's your shepherd. He'll meet every need. So when we seek Him, Matthew 6:33, when we seek Him and His righteousness first, He adds everything into your life that you have need of, everything into my life. So I want you to see yourself as a messenger for the Lord out of the church, but it said it would be for the glory of Christ. Isn't that amazing? You can bring Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the whitest, purest light. The sinless Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one that when, if He walked into this room right now, every one of you would, you and I would fall to the ground as a dead man because of His glory. But He said His messengers could bring Him glory. Oh my goodness. You can bring somebody that has that much glory. You can bring Him glory in the earth. Because see, the earth is distracted. The earth is looking at darkness. The earth is being swallowed up in questions and all of these things. But you have the answer. You are the Messiah's messenger. Amen? All right, we're in the 8th chapter. Turn to the 5th chapter. You know it very well. But look at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The Apostle Paul makes this statement about anybody that is a new creature in Christ. Are you a new creature in Christ? Come on. Amen. So this applies to you. He says, now, right now, at this moment, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. What matters is what thus saith the Lord. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did, be ye reconciled to God. So our message is not about condemnation. Our message is not about showing somebody their sin. Our message is how they can be reconciled to Jesus. Amen? And how can you do that? Because the Bible says that you are a messenger. You're a Messiah messenger. You are an ambassador. That ambassador means that you are Christ's representative here on the earth.
Yeah.
Oh, glory. That's why the devil hates you so much, because you can cause people to turn to Jesus. Right. You say, well, it just feels like I'm barely hanging on. Aren't you glad you're not going by feelings?
Yeah.
Come on, you're not saved by feelings. You're saved by faith. And it doesn't matter what it feels like. What matters is what thus saith the Lord. So this morning, you and I, we've got to come into that place and we're going to say, wait a minute. My life is significant. I have importance, not because of who I am alone and by myself, but because who I am by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like that sometimes we, if we're not careful, we lay down some things. We lay them down and we pick up something else. And when we pick up something else that's not of the Lord, it's hard to carry. And life gets tiresome, it gets wearisome, and all of these other questions start arising. So all we've got to do to get out of that place is lay those things down on the Lord and pick back up what He said. Now, somebody needs to hear this morning, the Bible's very clear, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So when God called you, He called you with a holy calling. And so it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. You may have laid some things down and picked up some other things. But this morning, you're here by divine, it's ordained of God for you to be able to be reminded that you can do a divine exchange. Jesus will take what's in your hand right now and He'll place again what He had for you. Amen. And when you pick it up, when I pick it up, there's going to be a place of peace. Because, see, when we're carrying the work in the will of the Lord, that's perfect peace. No matter what it looks like or feels like to the world or to the flesh, inside of here, we know it's all right. All right. So how do we know? How can we do this? How can we be a Messiah messenger? Go to Acts 1:8. You know this scripture very well. We preach out of it all the time. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Out of the mouth of Jesus, look what Jesus said. Acts 1:8. He said, but ye shall receive power. You're going to have this authority after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you are a Messiah messenger. Messiah means anointed. You are an anointed messenger because the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, you couldn't have been saved if the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon you. The Holy Spirit touched you. Some of you got saved at a very young age. And things have happened now in life. And here you are this morning, and you think back to what it was like when the knock on your heart's door was made by the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So nothing's changed. So we got to make sure that we don't let our situation change us, but we let the Savior change us. Amen. All right. So you got to go back to the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, ye shall be. That's a strong affirmation in your life. He said that you would be my Messiah messenger. You'd be my anointed messenger. Well, the Bible says, Old Testament, New Testament, Malachi chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 6, God can't lie. Titus 1:2 says the same thing. God can't lie. So out of the mouth of Jesus, He said that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and make you what He had ordained you to be. All you've got to do is take Him at His word. Amen. So I say, yes, Lord, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to make me a messenger that is going to bring you glory. And you said if you be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. And so that means I can be a reconciler. I can be somebody that can be used by you that can reconcile all people to the Lord. Amen. So that's what Paul is doing, is he's closing out this epistle. He's wanting to bring this affirmation of who we are, of exactly what the church is and exactly what the church can do. If we're not careful, we look at how we feel, or we look at choices and mistakes, and we say, well, this is the way it is, and I'm just going to have to continue on. No, well, all we got to do is make one mind change. Amen. Just say, Lord, I take you at your word. And we just change that one step. We change that one attitude. We change that one lie into the truth. And then he meets us where we're at. Amen. Then, isn't that encouraging? Okay, go back to our text. And let's look at how he wants you and I to know that we can be a comfort. And we done read in verse 8 about comforting your hearts. But look at verses 10 and 11. It says, Artaxias, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, verse 11, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. I want you to know that Paul is saying here that these people, because he was about people. Paul was about establishing relationships. He had deep, intimate relationships in the church. Paul had deep, intimate relationships within the church. Do you? We've got to. We need to be closer to one another than anybody else. I need you. You need me. We need each other. We need this intimacy, this level. And so Paul said, he names these group of people, and I don't have time. I wish I did. We'd go into what their names mean and why it's so important. But you and I, we're here this morning to receive this word that I'm a comforter of Christ Jesus. You are a comforter of Christ Jesus. We can bring comfort. Have you looked around today? People are hurting. They're confused. They have all sorts of questions. I mean, when you see the price of food and you see the interest rate and you see gasoline price, all this inflation is going crazy. This is a crazy time to live. But aren't you glad you got Jesus? But see, they don't have Jesus. So we've got to comfort them. We've got to bring them back to a place to show them that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be their shepherd. And see, if he's your shepherd, then it doesn't matter whatever else is happening or going on. It's going to be okay. Amen. So let's look at this. Hold your place here and go with me to John chapter 14. And look what the Word of God says. Let's start reading verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, Jesus says, red letter, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I know that you love Jesus or you wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning. And so just recognize what he's saying to you today and allow that to be the number one unction in your life. And Jesus said, here's what I'll do. He said, I will pray the Father. I believe Jesus gets his prayers answered, don't you? When he ever liveth to intercede for you and I. Jesus prayed for you this morning. And I will pray the Father, and he shall, there's your affirmation, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for a little while. Forever and ever. Well, what if I sin? What if I rebel? See, it's not about us, it's about him. He's faithful. Remember, we done talked about it. His name is called Faithful and True, Revelation 19:11. He was faithful, he is faithful, Hebrews 3, and all of his house. So it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about him and his statement of faithfulness. Now notice what he said. He said, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Who is this comforter? Verse 17. Even the Spirit, capital S, even the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. But more than that, look at that last part of the verse, highlighted in your mind's eye. He shall be in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You say, well, I don't feel him. You don't have to feel him. Thank God when we do. And praise God for it. I love it just like you do. But it's not about feelings. It's about I know that that Jesus said he was in me. That he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He would go with me until the end of the world, the end of the age. Some of you are dealing with some things this morning. And your life is just so tiring. It's overwhelming. Jesus wants you to allow him to talk to you. He wants you to cast every care that you have on him. He wants you to allow him to strengthen you. He wants to be that comfort to you because, see, as he comforts you, then that's a seed inside of your spirit that makes you a comforter. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul said, I have received comfort and now I'm giving comfort. And he said, all of these others who are in the church, they have received comfort and they're giving comfort. See, the thing that I need the most is the thing that I need to give. If I've got 1,000 pounds of potatoes, I'm not going to plant potatoes. Come on now. This is why the Lord is trying to show us some things. This is why the devil is attacking in the way he's attacking. And we got to realize that through him, we are what God says we are. And we have a source. Jesus is the seed of the word of God that you and I can sow out of our lives. It'll change everything. Amen. Now, remember what he said there. Let's read this first. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Is it 2 Corinthians? I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I wasn't going to do this. Let's do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look what it says starting in verse 3. Now remember, we're talking about being Messiah's messengers and being Christ's comfort. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. To exercise pity, to give compassion. The Father of mercies, plural. Notice this. And the God of some comfort. Your God is the God of all comfort. Oh, hallelujah. So that means that there's different levels of comfort and there's different types of comfort. See, some of us, we've lost relationships. And so we need a type of comfort that'll bring healing in that situation, that'll bring an answer to these questions that'll fill holes in our heart. Well, guess what? God's the comfort for that. But he works through his body. You and I, we got to tell the Lord, I'm available. See, because God's always available to us. So I need to be available to him. Amen. Because it's to him, but it's to a brother, to a sister, it's to someone who is in desperate need. He's the God of all comfort. Verse 4, how does he do it? God who comfort us in some of our problems, all of our tribulation. I see a tear on the cheek of Jesus right now for some of the things that you're going through. See, the Bible says that he is your great high priest and he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities, the feelings of your weaknesses, the feeling of your pains. I see that it just dropped off his eyelid and it's right there on his cheek right now. That's how much he loves you and that's how much he's wanting to minister to you this morning. It doesn't matter what has happened. None of those things. We don't put labels on a God who washes the labels of the world of the devil away. Amen. Who comfort us in all of our tribulation. Notice when he does this and why he does it, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, the devil looks to destroy you and I by bringing hurt and heartache and all of these things, and bringing division and all of these things. But our God is greater, and He works in our life. And then as He works in our life, that is a seed in your life, in my life, that can bring comfort to everybody else. Glory. See, used to when I'd see problems, I'd run the other way. Because I'd say, I've got enough of my own problems. But now you and I, we can run to the problem carrying the answer. Carrying Jesus, amen? Notice what it says in the next verse. For as the sufferings of Christ, now mark this down, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, our comfort, also aboundeth by Christ. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, I want you to take that to the next level. In other words, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and everything that He suffered as He walked through this world, He picked up on every attack of the devil that I was going to have, that you were going to have, every lie, every heartache, every disappointment. As He walked in this flesh, He picked all of that up. And all the sin that the devil had put in my life, He picked it up. And He went to the cross sinless. And He gave His life and He shed His blood. And today, you and I are in a place and a position where that blood washes over us and it makes us, makes our spirit sinless. But we can't stop there. Thank God for salvation, but I need relationship while I'm walking in this earth. And the relationship is the things that you're dealing with this morning, the things that you're feeling with, Jesus has done suffered them for you, and He's done carried them, and He's gave them to the Father. That's what this is saying. In other words, every torment in your mind, every struggle that's going on in your heart right now, all of the questions, all of the things that creates anxiety and confusion and the things in that turns to anger, Jesus has done carried that, and He's sitting on the right hand of the Father praying for you and I about it this morning. That seed is there. So He's a comfort to us, and we can comfort others. Amen? Now, real quick, remember what we read there? It seemed odd that Paul just mentioned Marcus out of the blue. He said, I want you to remember Marcus, John Mark. I want you to remember him. Barnabas, it was his nephew. Now, why did he mention him? Because remember that they had a great falling out. God put Paul and Barnabas together. But John Mark didn't do what Paul thought he should do. And so that brought great contention between Paul and Barnabas, and that ministry was split. Don't let man separate what God's put together. Amen? That ministry was split, and so they went ahead. But Paul, he looked at John Mark as somebody that wasn't worth anything. But now, all of a sudden, he mentions Barnabas. See, we won't take time to read there. You make a note. Go look at Mark chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I think it's like verse 36 or something. But it mentions Barnabas by name. And his name means the son of consolation, the son of comfort. See, God used Barnabas to restore John Mark. And then all of a sudden, in the epistle of 2 Timothy, Paul mentions John Mark and he says, bring him to me because he's profitable for the ministry. Yes. Restoration, comfort. God brought comfort, consolation through Barnabas, and John Mark was restored. Why am I talking about this? Because remember what I said, sometimes we lay down what God wants and we pick up other things. God wants to restore that. God, His gifts and His calling are without repentance. He has not changed His mind about you and I. And He's not changed His mind about those that you and I are destined to minister to. And so we are here to be a reconciliator, to bring people back to God. That's our whole role, our whole purpose. We're not here to tell them what they need to do or don't need to do. Has nothing to do with that. We're here to point them to Jesus. Jesus will show them what they need to do and don't need to do. Amen? We've got to keep our mind and a judgmental attitude out of all of this and let God be God. Amen? Okay. So your God is the God of all comfort. He's comforted you, so that seed is in your life, and now you can comfort other people. So you are a Messiah messenger. You are a comforter, a Christ comforter. Let's go back to our text and notice this. Where are we at? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about being a passionate prayer warrior. Verse 12, and Ephras. Ephras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want you to get this in your heart. Paul is saying, I'm going to list Ephras. I'm going to list his name because I want you to know that because of his prayers, that on the day of judgment, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're standing there because you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, but you're standing there because somebody prayed you and held you up strong. That's what we can do for one another. That's what you're doing for me. That's what I'm doing for you. Amen. We're praying one for another. Amen. And so we've got to see that. So Paul says that God has put it on my heart to mention it because I want everybody to know that, see, the book of Acts is still being written and you're living it. So when the trumpet sounds and when everything is ready for us to stand at that bema at the judgment seat of Christ, Acts will be finished. But then it's going to be read and your name is going to be there. And it's going to say that you labored fervently in prayer. This word labored fervently, it means that Ephras, that he went to the point of exhaustion and he put himself between that person and the devil. See, sometimes people are too weak to pray. They're too hurt to pray. They're too discouraged to pray. They're too confused to pray. And they're just there. Is there anything more sickening? I remember as a kid, I used to watch, whether it's fake or not, I don't know, watch wrestling. And, you know, you see somebody and they'd be just, or you see a boxer. And I mean, he's standing on his feet, but he's out. Is that not sad? Because, I mean, they're there, but there's no protection. You know what I mean? That's what happens to us at certain times when the devil has hit us from every situation and we're kind of knocked senseless. We're just there at his mercy. But see, all of a sudden you and I can say, wait a minute, because Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for me, I'm going to pray for my brother and my sister. I'm going to stand between them and the devil. Amen? And you're standing there. I want you to know that when you do that, yes, you're going to feel the blows. But it's worth it. Amen? It is absolutely worth it because you're standing between them and death. And you're making all the difference. That's why Paul is being led by the Spirit of God to emphasize this and to put this in. All right. So look at, drop back up to look at verse 2 in this fourth chapter. He's talking about prayer. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So, you and I, we have to make sure that we don't start something and then quit it. We've got to keep going. We've got to continue. We've got to be steadfast in prayer. And as you and I are praying for one another, as we're doing, having been this passionate prayer warrior, we're in the place and the position where we see some things. He said, continue in prayer and watch with thanksgiving. All of a sudden, as you're in prayer, you see some things that you wouldn't normally see. See, last Sunday morning, I couldn't say everything I wanted to say, but the devil said that service was going to determine whether the enemy got to do what he wanted to do. So the devil tried to throw some knockout punches, but because you and I yielded to the Spirit of God, we'd done what he would have us to do. We were standing in that place. And that person didn't go down. Okay. So you are a Messiah messenger, you are a Christ comforter, and you are a passionate prayer warrior. And notice what Paul said the next verse, verse 3. He said, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. See, the devil wants to bind up the message. He can't do it, though. And so you and I, let's pray for one another. Lord, open their mouth. Open my brother's mouth. Open my sister's mouth. Give them, let them see that Jesus is the open door of the book of Revelation. And let them see that they speak by the unction of the Spirit of God. Because see, God's willing, but I got to know that. Because if I know God's willing, then guess what? It helps me get willing. So let's passionately pray for that. Right now, the devil is trying to shut down some ministries in this church. And you and I have got to be in that place when we see this happening, that we say, Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to be that person. And I'll hold up my shield of faith, because I see my brother, my sister, their arms are so weak, they can't hold it up any longer. Amen. Okay. Let's close with this thought. Look here, I want you to see something. In it talks about Luke in verse 14, Colossians 4:14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician. So Luke was a medical doctor, and he mentions him right before he mentions Demas. See, Jesus is the great physician. And you and I need to be in the place where we see that there's going to be people that are going to be pulled away by the world. And so Demas, his name means popular. And so we know that something happened to him, because guess what? Jesus said, if they hate me, they will. So you're not going to be popular. So something happened to Demas along the way that pulled him away. But so we need to be in that place where, now I'm going to be the Lord's physician. I'm going to help bring words that'll bring healing. But I want you to see this. And Demas greets you. Now Demas, what's Demas known for? He's known that he fell away. He lost his faith. Paul says that Demas went and he followed after the world. Now, why am I saying that? Because the Bible says, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that there's going to be many that's going to depart from the faith in the last days. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So that means they're going to turn away from this Bible. This Bible is Jesus. So they're going to love a message, a gospel message of the world rather than the gospel message of Jesus. See, Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, that the devil is going to come to you and he's going to preach another gospel. And that's where we're at right now. We're seeing it right before our very eyes. So why am I talking about that? Because Paul here said that you of the church were of those of the faithful. Of the faithful. So in closing, I want you to see something. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Let's close with these two verses. Revelation 2:10. It says, fear none of those things which shall thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall, there's that affirmation, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Hebrews 2:14 says, Satan is death. You're going to meet the devil. When you're standing for Jesus, I'm standing for Jesus. So the devil's going to come against you. He's going to come against your children. He's going to come against your spouse. He's going to come against your job. He's going to come against your home. He's going to come against your health. That's the way it is. But you and I have to be faithful. See, Jesus come that you and I might only have life, right? John 10:10, but we might have a abundant life. So the devil's coming to work death. But Jesus said here that you got to be faithful unto death. In other words, you're going to have to look the devil right in the eye and say no. It's not popular. But we got to make a stand. Amen. Look at verse 13. He says nearly the same thing. I know thy works. Revelation 2:13. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. The devil is the prince of the power of the... He is the god of this. You're dwelling right where the devil is. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and has not denied, there it is, my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. Mark that down, faithful. Who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Antipas means instead of father. See, the book of Malachi closes, the old covenant closes with this revelation that before the coming of the Lord, that there was going to be a turning to two fathers. Some are going to turn to God, the true father, the heavenly father. Some are going to turn to the devil, the father of death. And so Antipas, he stood against, he become a martyr. That word martyr, it means witness unto death. You and I, we're going to have to stand before death. We're going to have to stand before the enemy and witness that Jesus is the answer. I'm not talking about you losing your life. I'm talking about you gaining life. See, when we lose this life, we gain the true life. Amen? This life is temporal, but his life is eternal. Amen? How many's ever heard of the Steamboat Geyser? How many's ever heard of the Great Prismatic Geyser? How many's heard of O Faithful, the geyser? See, the Steamboat Geyser, it steams up and spews hot water and air and steam three times as high as O Faithful. The Great Prismatic Geyser, when it steams up, it puts out some of the most brilliant colors as it goes in the air because of all of the minerals and because of the way the sun hits the water and the steam. And it's world-renowned for people taking pictures for it. Yet, I don't know about you, I never heard of them until I got to studying this out, thinking about it. But everybody's heard of O Faithful. Jesus is faithful in all of his house. Say, I'm his house. Luke 6, Matthew 7 says that you're the house of the Lord. See, when people need to know something about Jesus, they know where to go. Like people go to see O Faithful because they know that it's going to erupt at the right time. They know they can depend upon you. Because why? Because you depend upon him. This morning, would you let Jesus grab you by the hand? Would you lay down some things that you're holding on to so desperately? And would you let him put his hand in your hand? The moment that his hand touches yours, you're going to feel that print of where that nail went through for you, for me. And as you feel that print touch your hand, there's going to be the blood of Jesus because it's going to be made afresh and anew in your life. And it's going to feel such a relief because there's going to be a revelation of love that you need desperately this morning. The devil has tried to take away all truth about how much that you're loved and how much that you're needed. But when you put your hand in his hand and you lay down all of those things that's lies and deception, then the power of the Spirit of God can touch you and touch me and can change everything. Amen. More than anything in the world, the Lord wants to wrap his arms around your heart and my heart. Because as he wraps his arms around us, there can't anything stay attached to us. And everything that's on the inside of us that the devil has placed there for hurt and harm, for hindrance, for ultimately death, it has to bow. Because see, his name, his presence, his love is above all. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you for this wonderful group of people. Lord, to the best of my ability, I've said what you laid on my heart. I ask now that by the Spirit of God, that you exalt Jesus Christ before our eyes. Let him be lifted high. Let us see the love of God. Let us see the plan of God, the presence of God. Let us come back to that very reality of truth and let us receive everything this morning that you would have for us. Don't let us leave here without accepting the fullness of promise and provision in our lives. Lord, let it be. We yield to you. We trust you. We ask you in Jesus' name.